Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the outrageously popular Chinese video game, Revenge on Gold Diggers. Introduced last month, this disgusting game puts players in the role of men who are targeted by women seeking their money through seduction and romance. It rewards players who can see through the various mechanisms of manipulation and then take revenge on the women who tried to take advantage of them by leveraging fake romance for money. It even allows players to infiltrate a female criminal syndicate and take down the network of scammers and honeypotters as revenge on them for their evil relationship frauds. Although the creators of this now single most popular game in China say they made it to help people develop awareness of the various kinds of romance scams taking place in the real world and to equip them to defend against them, we all know that this is yet another way of reducing women to the three basic female stereotypes available to them in video games: the damsel in distress who needs rescuing, the hypersexualized busty Amazon warrior, or the villainous conniver who preys on men through temptation and seduction, the gold digger. And even though the Chinese authorities have banned the game's creator from several social media platforms and forced him to rename the game from Revenge on Gold Diggers to Emotional Anti-Fraud Simulator, which sounds like some bad translation from the original language, the basic elements of the game that are so wrong still exist, and it continues to soar in popularity. Of course, the problem here is that this game perpetuates traditional gender stereotypes in which women essentially barter sexuality and companionship for financial security and protection, or what so-called conservatives call marriage, which is, of course, a direct contradiction to every major tenet of female liberation theory. But even though this filthy game surely needs to be cast out into the endless abyss of utter misogyny, we do see a small glimmer of value in it. You see, it teaches men to beware women who allow them to pay for drinks or dinner because it might be a sign they're being used for financial favors. It teaches them to be cautious around women who are too eager to be pretty or flirt or appear sexually interested. And it teaches them to beware any woman who is interested in how much a man earns before she decides to express an interest in him. And in so doing, it actually may be undermining the traditional relationship of provider-protector man and companion-recipient woman, a norm that spans all successful cultures across all times, but which we, in our infallible wisdom of this particular 3 minutes in human history, of course know to be a deep gender mistake. And if a game like this makes women reluctant to behave like traditional women for fear of being perceived as gold diggers, and makes men suspicious of women who behave like traditional women for concern they might be trying to scam them, perhaps this game may unintentionally cultivate the very virtues which 14th wave feminism holds dear. But more likely, it's just a giant pile of anti-female propaganda filled with heteronormative culture perpetuation devices that serve to protect and reinforce the patriarchy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, comedian Shane Gillis, the obnoxious, abrasive, infuriating, and offensive comedian who, for reasons that still elude us, was given the opportunity to MC the ESPYs this week. Of course, we knew it was going to be outrageous, and of course, we knew he would say things likely to get him canceled by our own Holy Supreme Council on unacceptable speech acts and other violence, but even we had no inkling just how bad it would be. Yes, he insulted one of the heroes of our faith, openly lesbian soccer star Megan Rapinoe.
Megan Rapinoe could not make it tonight. Nice. No? We're going to pretend she's a good time. All right.
But if it wasn't bad enough to insult the one who wears fuchsia hair for all our sakes, he then dared to make a joke about gymnastics megastar Simone Biles?
Simone Biles is 4'8" and has 7 gold medals. She's short and has a lot of gold. When she's not competing, she leads a quiet life at the base of a rainbow. It's a leprechaun joke. If you tell Simone a riddle and she can't answer it, she has to give you all of her gold medals.
And in the process of telling this joke, he insults black women, people of alternate height, and physically coordinated leprechauns everywhere who literally are our very favorite mythological beings, people of the rainbow. But by far the worst insult, the most toxic piece of disinclusivity imaginable, was this comment.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
This is simply unacceptable. Telling a joke based on the closed-minded bigotry and systemic misogyny of American sports culture is completely unacceptable. After all the years of work we have done trying to convince people that watching women play basketball is every bit as entertaining as watching men do so, and after proving definitively that the only reason the WNBA is not as lucrative and popular as the NBA is not due to any difference in the quality of the product, but entirely because of narrow-minded, anti-feminist Neanderthals who refuse to spend their time and money watching women play the same game men play, just slower. And here he is, making a joke about how people only pretend to like women's basketball as a form of egalitarian virtue signaling and not because they actually enjoy it? What a scoundrel. He directly violated at least four of the commandments of wokeness, not the least of which is the 47th, which says, "Thou shalt not tell the truth if the truth does not reinforce the holy wokeness narrative." No, Shane Gillis, you can make fun of a white man all you like. Mock Aaron Rodgers, mock President What's-His-Name, mock Bill Belichick, and always feel free to mock the Dallas Cowboys. They've earned it. But don't you dare mock lesbian soccer stars, diminutive African-American leprechauns in training, and don't you ever, ever, ever again dare to make fun of the valiant and amazing women of the WNBA. You'd better keep Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark's names out of your filthy fat mouth. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a very hearty gift basket of affection and validation for Steve Miller, the legendary eponymous 81-year-old frontman for the Steve Miller Band, after this week's decision to cancel all 31 stops on their upcoming North American tour. No, it wasn't because of health concerns or lackluster sales or an issue about them getting raided by ICE, but out of environmental conscientiousness. As Miller posted on social media, "You make music with your instincts. You live your life by your instincts. Always trust your instincts." The Steve Miller Band has canceled all of our upcoming tour dates. The combination of extreme heat, unpredictable flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, and massive forest fires make these risks for you, our audience, the band, and the crew unacceptable. So you can blame it on the weather. The tour is canceled. Don't know where, don't know when. We hope to see you all again. Wishing you all peace, love, and happiness. Please take care of each other. Steve, the band, and the crew. Oh, it brings a tear of joy to my penetrating third eye to hear the anguish and the love and the concern for his loyal fans in this stern rebuke to the status quo. Who is to blame for the foregone income, the lost enjoyment, the missed social and political value of yet another Steve Miller Band tour? Climate change! Climate change is to blame! And of course, that means Republicans and their arrogant, gas-guzzling, climate-denying indifference to the imminent warning lights dear Mother Gaia is throwing up all across our ecological dashboard. Here you have beautiful souls like Steve Miller refusing to employ thousands of people around the nation, and all because he doesn't want to blow more carbon dioxide into the environment and further jeopardize the lives of his beloved followers. Since there obviously won't be any more natural disasters in any of these tour site cities if Steve Miller just refuses to perform there. Truly, this is one of the greatest acts of social kindness and environmental protest I can imagine. The Joker won't joke, the big old jet airliner won't fly, and just maybe, because of this small act of sacrifice, there may one day be enough jungle love so that more creatures can fly like an eagle throughout it. And all of this is happening because Steve Miller, the anointed octogenarian, refused to take the money and run. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.